I don't know about you, but it's hot. Maybe I'm missing something. It's probably my old age. I'm going through heat flashes. So, if you're hot, take your jacket off. It's okay. And then I'm going to figure out how to get this working. And first thing I want to do is start off by saying good morning, because, boy, we gave half a clap this morning. I was glad that Brother Johnny volunteered to drive for Matt. So, I mean, this is going to be an exciting day. I just want to know who's going to give directions. Betsy, I think you should get in by faith and help Brother Johnny drive. You put him behind the wheel. It might change how you look at life. But I'm so glad to, I'm glad to see Johnny. Glad to see all the family of Christ here today. See, this is what it's about. You know, it's a lot of things you can do, but it's nothing like getting together with the people of God. There's nothing like it. And, you know, this is a minor celebration. So we should be able to smile and have joy and all those things, because guess what? One day to go. One day we're going to get a robe. We sing, I got a robe, you got a robe. All of God's children got a robe. When I get to heaven, going to put on my robe and going to walk all over God's heaven. We need to be excited about that. Jesus is coming soon. I don't know how many of you keep up with the times. I mean, just look at what's happening in the news. Our country's changing the Constitution so fast we won't have rights as a Christian. Around the world, Christians are being persecuted. If you're a Christian and you choose not to sell to certain people, they shut your business down. That's the world we live in. That's the changing world we live in. And what people would like to think is that it's different, but it's not. Same thing was going on in the time of Noah and the Ark, in the times of destruction along the way. Well, let me get this thought off my mind real quick, and then we'll work through this. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that brought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for you and me. And I'm going to drop it down. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. And Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for that. I'm messed up. I have a problem with sin. A sickness that racks my body, but not only mine, but the body of every human being. Your scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of grace. And we all have. But Lord, you have a remedy. His name is Jesus Christ. He looked beyond all of that and he saw me and called me and saved me. And I'm thankful. And if he could do that for me, he could do that for any one of us. So this morning, Father, I pray that we answer the call. The call to give our lives to Christ. that we won't let anything in the world keep our focus from him. But our focus will be on Jesus Christ. Our goal will be to do his will. Our heart's desire will be to live for him. Let that be the focus of our lives. And we'll give you praise and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The watchman. So I was looking at this text this week, and I was thinking about destruction. You know, we preachers, we always like to talk about hellfire and damnation. You know, you put that in, boy, it's on. Well, they don't talk about that much today because that's offensive. I don't care. Everybody's worried about getting offended. Get offended. Now, I used to tell my kids when we played ball, somebody do something wrong, be like a duck, let the water roll off your back. No, you have offended me. We have removed from being a civilization of responsible people to a civilization of I got my rights. But I'm reading about all this destruction. I'm thinking, okay, do I really want to talk about that? Yes and no. But all of a sudden, I moved into chapter 33 and boom, it hit me. Wanted to talk about the watchman. But you got to understand, before you can talk about the watchman, there are some things you have to understand. And these aren't the points, but these are just some ideas. You have to understand rules and responsibilities. Okay? Roles and responsibilities. Example, if you're in a family, a husband and a wife, the husband has a role. The wife has a role. If you're in a church, you have elders and leaders. They have a role. You as members have a role. There are things that you have. There are things that God has assigned for you. God did not assign some things for you that he assigned for other people. We have people who preach. We have people who teach. We have people who encourage. Those are part of our role. And when we do that, we follow through in our responsibility, then God is honored. Then there's cause and effect. We used to learn in science, for every action, there's an equal but opposite action.
Reaction.
Yeah, reaction, except for when you get to God, because there isn't a, you know, you try to say, what's the opposite of the devil? Opposite of God, there is no, it's just God. But there's an equal but opposite reaction, so we've got to understand cause and effect. If I hit my head on the floor, it's going to hurt. Unless you, like some of us, you hit your head on the floor and you do damage to the floor. Anybody that hard-headed? I often talk about, my mom talked about gluteal stimulation. She said gluteal stimulation causes cerebral action. Interpreted in her terms, a hard head makes a soft behind. So she pulverized my behind. I think I turned out okay. You know, my brothers and sisters talk about bad kids, told me I wouldn't make it to a certain age. When my mom met my wife, she said, he was a good child. Thank you, Mom. We know who the best was, huh, Jed? Oh, yeah, Jed. Well, Jed's not here to agree. See, my mom, those good kids, Britta's the youngest. Mom saved the best for last, guys. That's what my mom did, you know. But there's cause and effect. But if, in order to understand roles and responsibility, cause and effect, you must understand right and wrong. See, what's happened in our society today is right is made to seem wrong, and wrong is made to seem right. You do a T-bowl, and there's something wrong with you. But my name is Michael Sam, and I want to play for. And you're pushed up. Bruce Jenner don't know what he wants to be. Scripture says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So he wants to be a woman, but he likes women. Something's wrong. That's not right. I was explaining to the kids in class how abortion has affected Social Security. People don't understand. When the rapture occurs, people are going to be taken, and the world is going to be thrown into turmoil. Well, abortion has wiped out more than a tenth of America's population over the past 30-plus years. That means tax dollars are not work. We don't have consumers of goods. So what happens? Now, imagine what's going to happen when the rapture occurs. Earth is going to be thrown into turmoil. But we say it's okay to get an abortion. Well, if you protest abortion, you're breaking the law. Well, the First Amendment says I have freedom of speech. You want to find out how much freedom of speech you have? Get on an airplane and holler bomb. Walk into a theater and say fire. But you're telling me I can't stand across the corner and talk to a person about something, or get on my knees and pray, or approach a person. That's what's happened in our society. We don't understand it, so we really have a hard time, or the world has a hard time understanding what the watchman does. Because the watchman works from his role. He works from cause and effect. He works from his responsibility based on the truth of God's word. See, there is no truth. Yes, there is truth. There is absolute truth. Somebody, I was sitting looking at something the other day, talking about, well, you know, the evolution of man. And in this many years, this is going to happen, but yet we've seen no changes in the fossil record. All this type of stuff, we don't want to admit that there is a God, because if we admit there is a God, that means that the stuff we're doing is wrong. See, it's very easy to knock off right when you choose to live wrong. But when you know the truth, it brings a burn on your conscience. Some of us, our conscience has vanished, and we're willing to do any and everything, and it don't matter. And if I don't get my way, I'm going to strike back. Sad case of conscience. I was reading about the 9-year-old boy that got killed in Chicago. The guy was mad at the kid's brother because his mom and his brother got killed or something in a shootout, so he draws a 9-year-old boy out and shoots him in the head. What's wrong with that, people? Policeman got a guy in handcuffs and shoots him like they used to do it in the mafia, hitman style. And we look away. Sin is allowed to run rampant in the church, and we just ignore it. It's no big deal. Our neighborhoods are torn apart by sin. They finally were saying in Chicago they got a clearance because somebody decided to tell the truth. We scared to tell the truth. What's wrong? Well, let's look at this watchman. The first thing I want you to understand is he has a public responsibility. And what I mean is by public responsibility is as an elder, I have a job to tell you, so not go out in the street and do this. Because Ezekiel was not talking to the world. He was talking to Israel. In our church, the elders talk to the people of the church. And when we go out and witness, that's a separate responsibility. That's part of our job. But the main job as an elder is to watch over this body. And Ezekiel was in that position of watchman. It says here, and again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for a watchman, if when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever hear the sound of the trumpet, and take if not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood should be upon his own head. So my job is to be a herald of the truth. If I tell you the truth and you ignore the truth, then you suffer the consequences. Now we sue the guy who tells the truth because we didn't do what he told us to do. There's a heavy responsibility on my part to tell you the truth. I remember years ago reading James 3:1 when I started preaching. And I was like, there ain't no way I want to be no pastor. And I said it just that. Matter of fact, I used to think you had to be crazy to be a preacher. And you know what? After 35 years, I'm convinced that you absolutely have to be crazy. You know, ask my wife. She'll tell you I'm crazy. But the impact of it is when I read that, I'm like, wait a minute. Let not many of you be teachers, for you shall receive the greater condemnation. Oh, wait a minute. You mean I take this role on and there's a benefit. And that benefit is if I don't do it right, there's a greater condemnation. Most people are going to do what? They're going to walk away from that. But that's part of the job. If I don't tell you, then there's a responsibility. There's something that comes on me in effect. But my job is to tell the truth. Ezekiel's job was to tell the truth. And you know what? Just like we are today, folks didn't want to hear it. I remember reading about one of the prophets laid in a rotten girdle for, a month? You know, out in the street, eating cow dung. Oh, come on, man. But he did this before the people to teach them something, and they ignored it. So it says, it goes back again, it says, You hear the sound of trumpet, take him not when the sword come, your blood is upon you. But if the watchman see the sword, come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned. Wait a minute. I got to look out for me. What do you think I care about you? That's the mentality of a lot of preachers today. You don't believe it. You look in. You know the lottery was put in the neighborhood so people could get that quick win, right? Well, a lot of those people that are playing the lottery, those poor people that go to these churches, and instead of the preachers being against it, like when I was in Denver, let's go and pray. You know it's wrong. Your members are the ones that's playing the lottery, but you live in large. And they hate the preachers that really work for what they do. I remember I bought a car. Ministry must be doing you real good. You bought a car. That boy must be paying you. I said, well, that's interesting. Why? I said, I've never collected a penny from the ministry I work. Oh, you work? I said, yeah. But there are preachers who hoard off of their church. They look out for themselves. But he says here, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. I don't know what type of punishment that's going to be. I think about what Scripture says, I have not seen, ear have not heard what the Lord has in store for you. I don't know what that's going to be, but you know what I do know? I don't want to be one that doesn't do what I'm supposed to do. And that should be the mind of every Christian. Don't claim you're a Christian and sit in church and play video games, talk on the phone, cuss folk out, live any type of way at home. Don't claim that and then say, I'm a Christian. Because what happens is pretty soon it says, be sure your sin will find you out. So he has a public responsibility, and that public responsibility is to tell the what? Tell the truth. It might hurt, but tell the truth. I learned a long time ago, you know, folks who lie, they got to keep lying. I ain't that good a liar. I mean, I think I'm pretty smooth, but I ain't that good a liar. I learned an amazing thing. You tell the truth, you ain't got to keep remembering because it's there. And you tell the truth and you keep telling the truth over and over and over again. I've lost friends because I told the truth, but that's okay. I could have kept the friends if I lied to them, but I'm not going to lie to you and have you run around here thinking everything is okay. I'm going to tell you the truth. It's like you see somebody got a bald head and they talk about the hair on their head, you know. Been growing this stuff and it's all over the place. And, you know, I just make up like the emperor in his new clothes. I got, well, check my dual. I put a perm in it. And everybody goes along because it's the emperor. And finally the little kid said, no, dog, ain't no hair on your head. You're naked. And the emperor runs away in shame. Could have been avoided if people told the truth. After his public responsibility, there's a personal accountability. See, we forget, I was at a church one time, and a pastor was preaching during the revival, and he talked about the responsibility of the people to the pastor and the people to God, but he never talked about the responsibility of the pastor to the people and his accountability to God. So basically he said the people have to do something, but the pastor's free and clear. We are not free and clear. I can tell you there have been times I'm preparing for a sermon. I remember back home preaching a sermon about messing with God's word because, you know, sometimes we get our mouth twisted and say things. And it's just like the Lord just whipped me up one side and down the other. So I'm sitting here preaching and everybody looking mad. And I'm like, you know, you ever walked in a place and you look at people and they look like they done sucked up on a bad lemon? You ever see that? You ever see somebody eat a dill pickle, what their face looks like? You know, they and everybody looking mad, and they sitting here mad at me. And finally I stop and I say, wait a minute. You need to understand something. Before this hits you, it hits me. When I'm preparing a sermon, boy, God is doing some work in my life. And sometimes it ain't pretty. Sometimes he has a show me thing. So the word that applies to you applies to me first. I don't get exempt. All of a sudden, it was like they was eating honey. The smiles in the place. We have a public, we have a personal accountability. And it reads like this. It says, therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how then should we live? How shall we live if we don't do something about it? How shall I live? If there's no change in my life, how can I expect there to be a change in your life? I watched my granddaughter the other day. You say something, guess what she does? She says it right after you. And my grandson, my grandson is a tough little guy. I get my cane out. He chased me around the house and grabbed my cane. And I'd be trying to walk out the door. He'd be like, nah. And he gets to walking around my cane. You know, and this is for long, long periods of time. I haven't figured it out, but they watch what you do. And so we say things like hi, and he get that hi out. They watch. Guess what? You know, the people of God watch what their leaders do. I once heard a preacher say, if I walked downtown and there were five black kids coming up the street, I'd cross over to the other side. And this was a famous civil rights speaker. And I thought, but you're the guy, you're a civil rights guy. Why would you cross over? Well, I happened to be downtown one time in St. Paul, and five black kids came up to me. And I had a choice. I could walk across the street or stay there. You know what I did? I walked down the street. They said, aren't you Reverend Delaney from so-and-so? Suppose I'd been downtown not doing what I was supposed to. What would have been the thoughts in their mind? What would your thoughts be if you saw me do something that you knew violated Scripture? You have a lot of questions, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you, sweetheart? You have a lot of questions. But he's supposed to be a preacher. Why is he living like that? People will follow their leader. And sometimes they'll walk right off the bridge. Says, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn away from from his way and live. Turn ye from evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of the people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wickedness, he shall not fail thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. There's an accountability. And I will be held accountable for how I live. You will be held accountable for how you live. We will be held accountable for every action. I think my favorite thing that I like is when I go to Corinthians, it says, only what you do for Christ will last. So what am I doing? What are we doing with our lives? Are we doing stuff that's everlasting or temporary? Sweetheart, y'all got a phone on over there or what? Are y'all got a phone on? Okay. Playing a game or are you listening? Okay, just want to make sure I'll check your notes afterwards. If they ain't right, I'll hang you up in the garage. No. I tell my daughter I was going to hang her upside down until she was 35. That way the blood rushes to the brain and she thinks. They give me time to get ready for her to get married and stuff, but it didn't work. But you get the idea is that we are held accountable. I am held accountable. I have to be accountable. If I'm not accountable, I can't hold you accountable. And then we can't hold, because this relationship that we have, it's not a one-way relationship. I like what Miss Sheila used to say, you pray for me and I'll pray for you. It's not a one-way relationship. It's a two-way relationship. It's a relationship between us, and then it's a relationship between us and God. It's horizontal and it's vertical. It's not just one way. So I'm accountable to God. I'm accountable to you. You are accountable to God and you're accountable to me to follow the leadership that we give. And if I don't give it, then there's a responsibility. There's a payment. So we've talked about a public responsibility. We've talked about a personal accountability. And then I like this last part. There is a definitive answer. And you know what definitive means, right? It means it's it. When the judge say you are guilty, you're guilty. After you've been appealed 20 times and been found guilty, all 20, you're guilty. And when he say you're going to die, you're going to die. When God says it's time, it's time. I don't care what you try to do. You got these folks talking about their healers. God says it's time to go, it's time. God says it's it, it's it. I tell the kids, my concern about the kids who come and everybody that come is you come here on Sunday morning, you hear the gospel, you reject it. Well, you come here another week, you hear the gospel, you reject it. You come here another week, you hear the gospel, you reject it. What happens when God says enough? Most people never read Romans 1. They just deal with it from the aspect of homosexuality. But a reprobate mind has to do with God saying, I've had enough of you, which means you are capable of anything. And everyone in here is capable of anything if they don't know Jesus Christ. So when God says, I've had enough, he leaves you to your own bidding. So this is the definitive answer to the next couple of verses. And it starts out like this. It says, and it's like the transition that God shifted over and started talking. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live if he trusts in his own, if he trusts in his own righteousness and commit iniquity, and his righteousness shall not be remembered before his iniquity he hath committed, he shall die for. Now, back in the day, folk, they based it on their righteousness, so they tried to. Catholic Church based it on your righteousness, we'll weigh it out. Some of the other religions based it on, well, we'll weigh it out. The scripture in Isaiah says, all our righteousness is filthy rags. So if we base it on our righteousness, we can float in and out. And God, and so he goes on to say, he says, again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge and give again that he have robbed, walked in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. You notice he puts in there that which is right and lawful. I'll develop this a little more. None of his sins that he have committed shall be mentioned unto him. He have done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. Yet the children of my people say, and we get into an arena here because there are people who say that there are 1,000 ways to God. How many people have driven down 35? Did you end up in Los Angeles? Where'd you end up? Texas. How many people have driven 94? I'm thinking something. Did you end up in Virginia? You end up somewhere out there. Ain't got nothing but snow and ice. I remember riding through North Dakota and seeing a big M on the sign for Minot. I heard they got people up there. And then I've heard about Fargo. You know, of course, that's when it snows, but you end up in the vast wilderness. But people say many ways lead to God. I was looking at some on Facebook, somebody talking about their family member called God Allah. She was a Christian, worshiped the same God. No, she wasn't a Christian. She was a Catholic background. And they don't worship the same God because they believe in Mary. And the scripture says if we or anyone else, or an angel preach another doctrine to them, let you be accursed. The scripture says, no man can come to Christ, come to the Lord, by God, to God, but by Jesus Christ. But we're saying we go to Mary, and that's called mother logic. You know what that means, right? Mother logic. Well, if I want to get Dave to do something, I'm going to go to Dave's mom, and Dave's mom is going to convince him, and he is going to do it. That's what Catholicism is, mother logic. It's not Christianity, it's mother logic. You know what? Go to somebody's mother if you want to. Don't do what God says, and you won't end up in purgatory. I think purgatory is in New Mexico. Utah. You know, is Utah? Purgatory. Yeah, that's purgatory too. But said, Let's keep going. Yet the children of thy people say the way of the Lord is not equal. But for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live by there. Yet ye say the way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge every one of you after his ways. We say God's not equal. God says I have a plan. We say there are many ways that lead to God. God said there's only one. We say, well, you know, we can live life kind of like this in the balances and let it get weighed out. God said, all your righteousness is filthy rags. Well, why don't you show me that in the Quran? Because it's not in the Quran. Why don't you show me that in the writings of Buddha? Because it's not in Buddha. Buddha died in the grave. Muhammad died and is in a grave. Confucius died and he's in a grave. Jesus died and he's in heaven. Songwriter once said, if God is dead, can you tell me where the body is? They try to make up things. They try to make up movies. They try to make up lies. I was telling somebody the other day how the scribes and Pharisees were. They tried to make up a lie about the disciples came and took Jesus' body away, right? Well, it's written in Scripture. Isn't that amazing? God shows their plan ahead. It's already written what they would do. It was told what they would do. Folks, we got to stop skating around the issue. The issue is plain and simple. Is that Jesus Christ lived. He died. He rose again. We make the same complaints that the Israeli Jewish people made. God is not unfair. God is direct. People say to me, why would a loving God send somebody to hell? And the Scripture makes it very clear that a loving God didn't design hell for people. Hell was designed for Satan and his angels. But people go there because they reject God's plan. So my question back is, why do you continue to reject God's word? Folks, I rejected it for 22 years. If I had died in that first 22 years of my life, I'd have died and gone to hell. Now, I'm saying to you that you have an opportunity now. You've heard the gospel. You hear the gospel every Sunday, and you walk out of here, and you reject it. Do you know where you will be when your next breath is taken? And you have to understand, everybody in here is one heartbeat, one breath away from eternity. And you got to decide where you want to be. That's why the Lord sent the prophets, to let people know what the truth was and give them an opportunity. Your time to decide is not tomorrow. I've never seen tomorrow on a calendar. Yesterday, I can't go back and recoup. But all we got is now. Your time to decide is now. You can continue to walk in sin, or you can choose to walk in the righteousness of Christ. Colossians says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is Christ in you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing your word. Lord, we've shared your word with saved and unsaved. We can't guarantee anything, but Father, you can. So my prayer is simple, that those who don't know Christ, whether they're kids or adults, will today make that decision. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. What we have is right now. And Lord, you know, we like to make quick decisions on a lot of things. But when it comes to salvation, we just blow it off and blow it off. And that's the design of Satan. He wants us to blow it off and blow it off. Because you know what? He's not happy. He's never going to be happy. So he wants you to be just as unhappy as he is burning in hell. And Father, our prayer is that we want them to be happy in you in the presence of Jesus Christ. So let your word not go out and return void. Let it reach the hearts that it's designed to reach. And we'll give you praise and glory, for we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand for the benediction. And as always, I will read to you as I always do. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.